Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, welcome aboard. This is War. Wayne Allen Root sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage tonight and throughout most of the next week until New Year. Wayne Allen Root, I am called by the media the capitalist evangelist. I'm a former presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, vice presidential nominee, now back to the Republican Party, a lifelong Republican conservative, starting at the age of three, by the way, handing out literature for Barry Goldwater in my father's arms at a train station in Mount Vernon, New York. That's where my political career began. Blue-collar SOB, son of a butcher, turned Ivy League grad, Obama's classmate at Columbia University. Class of 83. Yes, I am the anti-Obama, and I'm going to tell you some stories over the next few nights about Columbia University and Barack Obama and where I think all the problems of America began. It all goes back to our college careers at Columbia University from 79 through 1983. I'm the best-selling author of The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide, a great New Year's gift for the conservative in your life, by the way. The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide came out number one in America back in April. Right now, it's the seventh best-selling political book in the country for the last year. Subtitle, How to Survive, Thrive, and Prosper During Obamageddon. That's what I call this economy, Obamageddon, because I know what's going on out there. I'm not your typical radio host or commentator or journalist. I am first and foremost a small businessman, a serial entrepreneur, a CEO, a defender of capitalism, a champion of small business, a homeschool dad whose daughter is at Harvard now, homeschooled to Harvard from Las Vegas, Nevada, and a citizen politician. Now, let me give you the biggest news of all about this Savage Nation show and my good friend Dr. Michael Savage, and that news is that starting on January 2nd, his show moves to beachfront property on Cumulus Radio, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's afternoon drive time on the East Coast, noon to 3 p.m. Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. Congratulations to Dr. Michael Savage. And I am thrilled to be filling his shoes just for a few hours over the next week. It is a great, great honor. My guest tonight, by the way, and we've got some great ones, my buddy. Not too many people have a buddy that's a billionaire, but I've got one. Jim Rogers, the billionaire who co-founded Quantum Fund with George Soros. Yeah, I know George Soros. I know the enemy of America, the enemy of capitalism, the enemy of the Republican Party, the enemy of the Tea Party, the enemy of conservatives. But Jim Rogers, his partner, is the good guy. It's kind of like Felix and Oscar and The Odd Couple. Jim Rogers, a great libertarian conservative and capitalist evangelist like me, a famed billionaire investment guru and economic commentator direct from his home in Singapore, will be with us tonight talking about the economy and how you turn it around and what's happening in America today and where it's going. Dr. Benjamin Carson, another good friend of mine, we actually met for the first time about 2 months ago. I'd known of him for years and years and years. You talk about having a brain surgeon on your show. He really is a brain surgeon. Dr. Benjamin Carson, famed neurosurgeon from Johns Hopkins. He's been awarded 60 honorary doctorates and probably as big an Obama critic as there is in this country. Best-selling author, New York Times bestseller. Dr. Benjamin and Candy Carson, now friends of mine, I'm proud to say. We were on the same stage together about 2 months ago at the New Orleans Investment Conference, the most famed investment conference in this country, 30 years and counting, where they have the best and biggest economic and political thinkers. And the keynote speakers this year, myself, Wayne Root, Charles Krautheimer of Fox News, Ron Paul, the great congressman and ex-Republican presidential candidate, and Dr. Benjamin Carson. And we got to know each other backstage in the green room and became buddies. And we have a mutual friend who's one of my best friends in the world, Lee Lipton. And we all became buddies together. So Ben will be on talking about Obamacare, It's one thing to have a guest talking about Obamacare. It's another to have the leading brain surgeon in the world with 60 honorary doctorates who should have been not only consulted, he should have written the whole darn health care plan. If you were going to change anything in America to improve the health care system, you go to Dr. Benjamin Carson. And some people believe he's going to be the next president of the United States. We'll see. I don't even know if he wants to run for president. But people all over this country are urging Benjamin Carson to run for president of the United States. Certainly he'd make a great United States senator from Florida. And I'd be honored to join him in the U.S. Senate because a lot of people are urging me to run for U.S. Senate against Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid in my home state of Nevada in 2016 as the Tea Party candidate. Wouldn't that be great if I could join my heroes Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and Dr. Benjamin Carson, U.S. Senator, Florida? Wow, would that be a team to lead this nation back? And our other guest tonight, Doug Schoen, Fox News contributor, best-selling author, Democrat campaign consultant and pollster, best known for being Bill Clinton's political advisor, but also Mayor Bloomberg, and really a good guy. I've seen him a lot on Fox News, and I guess you'd call him a relatively conservative Democrat. Not bad. He's on tonight. I want to talk about polls and how this president ignores polls, and I believe it's because he doesn't care. He's out to transform America into a socialist, Marxist, communist vision, and he doesn't care what the polls say. He doesn't care what the people want. He's the only president I've ever seen, all politicians, live by polls. They live and die by polls. This president doesn't care, and he doesn't care because he was sent here to do bad things to this country. Polls don't matter to him. He doesn't care if you like him or not. Means nothing to him. And so we've got a heck of a guest lineup tonight, an honor to be sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage here on Savage Nation, Wayne Allen Root. So as I come out of the chute tonight, I was going to talk about some of my popular commentaries. One I wrote for Fox News called Obamacare is a fantastic success. It's, I believe at this point, the single most popular commentary of the year at Fox News, over 1 million readers. I was going to talk about my commentary from Fox News 2 weeks ago. Is the president too big to jail? Because I think Obama should go to prison, literally should be indicted and imprisoned for defrauding the American people. He committed fraud. I'm a private sector CEO, and if I ever tried to do 1,000th of what he's done, lie to the American people and sell them a flawed product and take away their health insurance, I'd be in prison. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But believe it or not, I want to, and we'll also talk about what I learned at Columbia University with my classmate, Barack Obama. So you get a sense of why things are happening the way they're happening in America today. These aren't mistakes. These aren't coincidences. This is a purposeful plan to destroy this country, to bankrupt the rich, to destroy and wipe out the middle class, to wipe out small business, and to create a two-class society. The super, super rich who are beholden to government to stay rich and get richer, and everyone else is poor. It is the classic Marxist scheme, and it was planned out. The plan devised and planned out at Columbia University when I was there graduating in 1983 alongside Barack Obama. I'll tell you all about that plan. But before we get to, is Obama too big to jail, and the plan at Columbia, and the real statistics of the Obama economy, I really want to start out with a commentary I wrote for The Blaze, Glenn Beck's website, over this weekend. And it's all about the controversy with Duck Dynasty. Believe it or not, as silly as that show is, and as silly as this controversy is, I think it's actually very important. I think Duck Dynasty and this gay rights controversy actually is going to be like Paul Revere for the American Revolution. This guy, Phil Robertson, is going to wind up being important, and he'll be in the history books because he literally woke up Christians, woke up conservatives, woke up people who have been in a slumber, a five-year-long slumber, all because of some simple duck hunter. The world has changed just a little bit. And don't kid yourself. Obama's scared, and the TV networks and Hollywood executives, they're scared. All the liberals out there, all the socialists, all the Marxists, all the communists, they are worried as heck about what just happened. Let me explain it to you. Let me tell you what my commentary was about. But I do want to give you, I do want to give you the call-in number so that you can actually call in during this show. Because we're going to take some calls in just a little while. Call-in number is 855-400-SAVAGE. That's toll-free, 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE, S-A-V-A-G-E, of course, for Dr. Michael Savage. But I'm Wayne Allen Root, your guest host for this evening and throughout this week, and we're going to have some fun. I can't fill Dr. Michael Savage's shoes, but I've got my own shoes, and we're going to have some fun. And we're going to do some fighting, because that's what I am. You know, I've got a new book that will be coming out in July called The Murder of the Middle Class with recommendations for how we can take this country back. I'm a branding expert, and I'm telling you, the start to taking it back is not to show up at a gunfight with a knife. And the Republican Party is filled with nice people, nice guys, who are getting their teeth kicked in by Barack Obama because he's showing up at a gunfight with a nuclear weapon. And we keep showing up with little pocket knives. And we're getting the you-know-what kicked out of us. You got to fight fire with fire. And you're dealing with communists, Marxists, socialists, people out to destroy America, Christian, Judeo-Christian values, American exceptionalism, and capitalism. They want to wipe us off the face of the earth. And you know what? In response, you can't be nice, folks. Ted Cruz had it right. You can't be nice. So let me start with, I think, the shot heard around the world by a duck hunter. The commentary I wrote for The Blaze, one of the most popular things I've ever written, is entitled Duck You. Have you heard the joke about the family of duck hunters that took down an entire billion-dollar TV network? It's no joke. A&E just stepped in duck poop. They made the biggest mistake in the history of Hollywood. They showed us how leftists in Hollywood and Washington, D.C., those people have got to be scared to death. Something amazing just happened over the weekend. And as silly as it sounds, a duck hunter is at the root of it all.
Yes. The very people who keep nominating moderates now call us purists the way the left calls us purists.
Mark Levin.
Yeah, things like liberty and property rights, individual sovereignty, the Constitution, and capitalism. We're purists now. And we have to hear this crap from conservatives or pseudo-conservatives and Republicans. It's called tyranny.
Weekdays at 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
That's what it is.
All right, this is War. Wayne Allen Root sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on Savage Nation. If you want to call, the phone lines are open, 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 855-400-7282. Continuing on with my Duck You commentary at The Blaze. I think that Duck Dynasty scandal, controversy, whatever you want to call it, involving their star, Phil Robertson, really has changed things. I think Christians and conservatives are saying, we have rights too. They're opening the window like that guy in that movie Network and saying, we're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to allow our rights to be trampled. We're not going to allow your oppression and intolerance. Now, A&E claims the indefinite suspension of Phil Robertson, but I will stand hand in hand in support with Phil Robertson to support his right to say it. And oh, by the way, he's a reality TV star, folks. His success and popularity is based on his opinions. A&E fired a reality star for having controversial opinions? Get their executives to a psychiatrist's couch. I'm Wayne Allen Root, guest host for Savage Nation and Dr. Michael Savage. I'm the capitalist evangelist, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. This is War. Wayne Allen Root, the capitalist evangelist and the anti-Obama. Yes, that's right, classmate of President Barack Obama, Columbia University class of 83. I'll get to that in just a few moments. I'm sitting in as guest host for the great, the awesome, the legendary Dr. Michael Savage here on Savage Nation. The call-in number, 855-400-7282. That's 855-400-SAVAGE. And the big news is live, January 2nd, Michael's show moves to afternoon drive time. Beachfront property on Cumulus, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. East Coast time, noon to 3 p.m. Pacific time. Congratulations to Dr. Savage. All right, let me finish up with my thoughts on the whole Duck Dynasty controversy. Just a few closing thoughts, and then I'll move on to, is this president too big to jail? And I don't think he is. But what I'm hearing from liberals who defend A&E is that this is a private business. They're using the conservative libertarian argument. This is a private business, and they have a right to fire who they want. It's basically private property rights. And I ask you, can you imagine if an NFL team fired a quarterback for going on the air, giving an interview to the media, and making statements that were very pro-gay marriage, as an example? And let's say that quarterback was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys in a very conservative area like Texas. Can you imagine firing him for his comments and being allowed to get away with it? What would Hollywood say? What would the media say? What would President Obama say? He'd undoubtedly weigh in front of the entire nation about the audacity and the immorality of firing a liberal or a progressive or someone who's pro-gay for their opinions. Can you imagine a restaurant owner firing his waiter because his mannerisms perhaps are turning off religious customers? Perhaps he's a little too effeminate. Can you imagine if that happened, what government would do to that restaurant owner? What if a business fired a woman for being too overtly pro-abortion and talking constantly about the need for abortion and how she'd had multiple abortions, and a businessman, sickened by it all, fired her? Can you imagine the reaction of the left? My gosh. So it's a lie to say that private businesses have a right to fire who they want. The law is only used to protect leftists and progressive views. This was never about branding. It was about shock and horror when the executives, the Hollywood TV executives at A&E, who drank the Obama Kool-Aid, realized that their biggest TV star actually believes in something they don't. They had to rush to silence him. Why? Because Obama and Hollywood and all the PC police out there are petrified of free speech. Absolutely petrified. They keep their modern-day Tammany Hall going through intimidation. They can't afford to allow conservative or Christian values to be affirmed by a pop culture celebrity for fear it might start a trend. It might stir up the masses. It might encourage conservatives or Christians to speak out. It might embolden Christians to actually have the nerve to quote the Bible without fear. Hollywood can't allow that because they know it could get out of hand. Americans might actually be inspired to fight back. Some of us might escape the thought police plantation. And a duck hunter may have just lit the spark that started a revolution. Phil Robertson has gone from just a TV phenomenon with one of the most popular shows in TV history to an American hero because Americans are now unchained. We are free to speak our minds. And here's what we have to say to the control freak tyrants like Obama and the Hollywood elite and the PC thought police. We say, duck you. All right. Now on to, is the president too big to jail, a concept that I think everyone has to start talking about. We all need to get bold. We all need to fight with a gun in a gunfight, not a knife in a gunfight, because you lose that fight every time. And we're allowing progressives to ID us, to Saul Alinsky us, to say that Tea Partiers and true blue conservatives who simply, people like me who simply believe in what the founding fathers believed in, God and country and limited government and lower taxes, letting people keep more of their own money. People like me believe it's not greedy to want to keep your own money, but it's the very definition of greed to demand government steal it at gunpoint from the people who earned it and redistribute it to those who didn't earn it. That's greedy. And they're trying to define that as radical and extreme and out of touch. Because, see, we all read, Obama and I and all my classmates at Columbia, we read Saul Alinsky at Columbia. We studied it. And Saul Alinsky said, look in the mirror. Whatever you see, blame it on the other guy. If you're ruining America, say the other guy's ruining America. If you're destroying capitalism, blame the other guy for destroying capitalism. If you're causing jobs to be destroyed by the millions and the American economy to collapse, what you do is you blame it on the other guy. And you absolutely call the other guy a radical if you're a radical. And you call him extreme if you're extreme. And that's what's happening to us, folks. And moderate establishment D.C. Republicans are not only allowing it to happen, they're joining in. They actually like it when Democrats attack the Tea Party and true blue conservatives that are the very base, the very heart of the Republican Party and the conservative movement. Without us, there is no energy. The media and the liberals and the Obama socialist cabal want you to forget what happened in 2010. They want you to completely forget that it was the Tea Party energy that caused the greatest landslide in modern political history. In the House, in the Senate, governorships all over this country, and how about state houses? Republicans picked up more seats in legislative state houses than at any time in the history of America. That all happened in 2010 with the power and the principles and the energy and the enthusiasm and the inspiration of the Tea Party. So they had to kill it. They had to destroy it. They had to demonize it. And it worked. It's to the point where establishment Republicans who gained all of that power in 2010, they've also forgotten, or at least deep down, they're delusional. They made themselves forget what happened, and they've convinced themselves that we're bad for the GOP. Real conservatives are bad for the GOP, and we've caused defeats. Really? So what happened in 2010? Or what happened since 2010, more importantly? I'll tell you what happened. Obama set out on a plan to demonize and destroy the Tea Party so that Republicans would go back to being John Boehner and Mitch McConnell. That's the symbol of the GOP that he needs so desperately to win re-election, and it worked. He won re-election in 2012, and that's what he needs so badly to win every argument in Congress, and he does, because he's fighting against weak-willed cowards like Boehner and McConnell, who are the face of the GOP, and what an embarrassing face they are. My gosh, these guys who run the GOP in D.C., they suffer from the Stockholm Syndrome. You know, that's that syndrome where you start to like your captors. You start to actually feel close to the people that kidnapped you and threatened to kill you every day just because they haven't killed you yet. You actually say, wow, they're good guys. That's what these guys act like with Obama. Stockholm Syndrome. So now let me tell you the way I fight back. I tell the truth. Is this president too big to jail? A Chinese proverb says, may you live in interesting times. We certainly do. Historians will look back on this time as the Obama criminal years. Let me tell you how lawless this administration is. Most citizens are aware that because of Obamacare, millions of Americans are losing their health care coverage. Millions have already lost it, but 100 million or more will eventually lose it within the next year. Is this incompetence or criminal fraud? One thing's certain, folks. It would be fraud if a private sector CEO knew that millions of customers would lose their insurance, yet repeated the same lie over and over again. If you like your health insurance, you can keep it. Period. Why would we not hold a politician to the same standard? Is this president too big to jail? But this fraud is not just about money and power. It's about cancer patients who may lose their lives as well as their health care coverage because of Obamacare. All over this country, there are examples of cancer patients with terminal stage 4 cancer who have lost their insurance or lost their hospital or lost their network or lost their doctor or lost the very drug that has kept them alive. It's no longer covered under their new Obamacare plan. Or they've got a gigantic new deductible under their old plan that Obama says is inferior and they must part with it. Tough. Under that old plan, they might have paid $300, as an example, for their cancer medicine. Under the new plan, $7,000. Even innocent children with cancer are among the victims of Obamacare who have lost their insurance. Now, I'm a branding expert. I lecture all over the world on business branding. In the last 6 months, I've been in South Africa twice lecturing on branding American style. Spoke to crowds of over 5,000. And as a branding expert, I can tell you the Republican Party can destroy Obamacare forever, but they need to do it now. And the way to do it is with infomercials. I'm not kidding you. There's no other way to do it because the media is bought off. The media is paid off by Obama and the pharmaceutical companies, who, by the way, bought in and love Obamacare because he bribed them with billions of dollars and 30 million new patients. And guess who's paying the bill? The government. So those pharmaceutical companies are getting rich, and those health insurance companies, for the moment, are getting rich. Eventually, he's going to put them all out of business. Their greed is going to destroy them. They're so stupid. But in the short term, they're all making a bloody fortune. So they're going along with this. So the news media is completely bought off, along with the big corporations. And you got to go over their heads, folks. You got to spend millions of dollars and buy media time, infomercial time, and create a 30-minute show that will destroy Obamacare forever. Stick the knife in it, in its heart, like it's a vampire. And how do you do that? You take cameras, and you go into the homes of Americans whose lives have been destroyed or damaged badly or upended by Obamacare. And you film people with stage 4 terminal cancer in their hospital beds who have lost their doctor or their insurance and have no idea what to do. You film people who have stories that need to be told. Their children have cancer and they've lost their insurance, or the deductible's now so high they cannot afford the new policy. You film small businessmen and women who own businesses who can't afford the policy. They had 50 people on health insurance and now all their employees are going to be taken off it. You film small business people saying, I can no longer employ a full-time employee, certainly not 50 full-time employees, for fear that I'll have to spend the money on Obamacare. So I've just downgraded half my employees to part-time employees working less than 30 hours a week, 29 and a half hours a week, so I don't have to comply with Obamacare. And those people's lives are changed and damaged and ruined. Or I just let go of everyone because my business is folding. I can't compete in this Obama economy. Or how about the parent that'll tell you about their kid who was sick and the stress of losing health insurance caused them to get depressed, go into a tailspin, and die? How about the person who commits suicide because they lost their health insurance? Put them on camera. Let them tell their stories to the American people. And then by the time, 24 hours a day on American television, including late night, but early morning, mid-afternoon, prime time, and late night if you can, and run it all day long. There's a reason why people have become billionaires from the infomercial business. It works. If you have a good product and you know how to sell it and you know how to brand it, it works. You can make hundreds of millions of dollars. People sit captivated and watch your 30-minute program, whereas they wouldn't get the message in a 30- or 60-second advertisement. Well, the Republican Party needs to take advantage of that. It's time for conservatives to brand, and what they need to do is brand Obamacare as disaster, as death, as tragedy for America. Because this president is not too big to jail. He lied about everything. He lied about the expense of it. He lied about you keeping your policy, keeping your doctor, keeping your hospital, keeping your network, keeping the pharmaceutical drugs you used to be on that help you. It's all changed. He lied about it not being about income redistribution, because it is. That's all it's ever been about, a Marxist plan to redistribute your income. He lied about it not being a death panel. It's one big death panel. This president has no shame. How many Americans know that a cancer patient merely discussing the tragedy, the disastrous ramifications of Obamacare on Fox News is now being persecuted by the IRS? Bill Elliott is that terminal cancer patient audited by the IRS within days of a Fox News appearance. The IRS scandal is far more widespread than the American public knows. It's not just about Tea Party groups. The IRS was used by Obama to go after any citizen daring to criticize him in the national media. How do I know? Because I'm one of the victims. I'm one of the most outspoken critics in this country of Barack Obama. And the result, harassment nonstop by the IRS for the last 3 years. I hired the best law firm in the country. They took him to court. We won. They threw the case out. 5 days later, new IRS audit. My lawyer looked at me and said, my God, you are on the president's enemies list. I'm unaware in 30 years as a practicing attorney in tax law of anyone who's ever been audited 5 days after winning a case in tax court. Aren't you lucky you're on the president's enemies list? I am one of those victims. These actions by a president are criminal. Richard Nixon's articles of impeachment included the same charge of using the IRS to punish critics and silence free speech. But folks, I'm a big boy. What Obama did to critics like me is disgusting and un-American and criminal. But terminal cancer patients? What he did to a terminal cancer patient is disgraceful and unimaginable. He's an out-of-control bully, pure and simple. Will anyone show the courage to investigate and prosecute why a stage 4 terminal cancer patient appearing on Fox News to criticize Obamacare was audited by the IRS 5 days later? Is this president too big to jail? Now, we're going to go to a break. When I come back, it's like a late-night infomercial. They love to say, there's more. Wait, there's more. Oh, do I have charges against this president. We're going to indict this president. Wait, there's more. I'm Wayne Allen Root, guest host for Dr. Michael Savage on Savage Nation this week. Proud to be here, filling in the great shoes of the legendary Dr. Michael Savage. The phone number, call in, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. I am the capitalist evangelist and the anti-Obama. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You believe in big government? That's what you vote for. You're perfectly fine to vote for whatever you want.
Mark Levin.
But if you think I'm going to shut up over it, you're dead wrong.
Weekdays at 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Welcome back. This is Wayne Allen Root, War, the capitalist evangelist. And my rant right now, I call him the Root Rant, is President Obama too big to jail? So as we left for the break, I was telling you, wait, there's more. Like a late-night infomercial. When citizens went to the state-of-the-art Obamacare website for help to try and save themselves, what did they find? It was defective. It was built so badly, the personal information of consumers is still able to be easily stolen, not just by online scam artists, but by the Obama navigators themselves. No criminal check ever done on them. So your information, your private information, your financial and medical records could be stolen by people working for the Obama administration who have criminal records. And how about who built the site? Why is it defective? Rather than hiring one of the many highly qualified American high-tech internet companies, Obama gave a no-bid contract for hundreds of millions of dollars to a firm with less than stellar credentials who produced a defective website. Surely the reason couldn't be it's the firm of Michelle Obama's Princeton Black Alumni Association buddy, her college classmate, could it? Don't you wonder how many millions of taxpayer dollars are now sitting in a Swiss bank account? Can you imagine if this happened at a private sector company? Can you imagine the outrage and criminal accusations coming from consumer protection advocates? Is this president too big to jail? I'm Wayne Allen Root. We'll be right back with billionaire investment guru Jim Rogers and then Dr. Benjamin Carson. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, time for America's most exciting guest host, sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on Savage Nation, and honored to be doing it, Wayne Allen Root. This is War. Wayne Allen Root, the capitalist evangelist, SOB, son of a butcher, entrepreneur extraordinaire, small business defender and champion, and Obama's college classmate, Columbia University, class of 83. We'll get to that later in the show. What we learned at Columbia, Obama and I, and why I believe everything that we learned at Columbia is the key to what's happening to America today. This is a purposeful attack from within. Did you ever see the movie White House Down? That's what's happening in America today, except there's no need for terrorists from North Korea like in that movie. What's happening today in America, it's happening from within the White House. A purposeful plan to take down the system, to overwhelm the system. Happening right in front of us. Talk about that later. I want to finish up Too Big to Jail and then come right on with Jim Rogers, one of the great investment gurus in the world today. Honored to have him with us. So can you imagine if at a private sector company, forget about the fraud and lying and misrepresentation to sell a product, lying about whether you could keep your health insurance and that the price would not go up. But can you imagine if you used hundreds of millions of dollars of company funds to build a website that wound up defective and it turned out the money went to a friend of your wife? You'd be indicted for misuse of company funds, for fraud, for funneling money to a friend for a defective website. How about Benghazi? More absurd lies than Obamacare. A possible arms deal with rebels that went bad. And the cover-up of murder of an American ambassador and two former Navy SEALs. Fast and Furious, another government arms deal gone bad. Responsibility for the murder of a U.S. border guard. The NSA scandal. Obama listens to all of our calls and communications. I only hope he listens to all of mine. He'll hear the word impeachment come up in almost every sentence. He'll really love that. The AP scandal. Obama and his paranoid socialist cabal are even illegally spying on their adoring Kool-Aid drinking friends in the media, the people that take care of them and guard them and commit fraud to protect them and claim the economy's recovering. Those people he's spying on. The IRS scandal, it wasn't just about going after critics or tea parties or even, as I said, going after a stage 4 terminal cancer victim. It was about changing the outcome of the 2012 election. Obama was reelected because he sicked the IRS on his biggest and most effective and highest energy, highest enthusiasm, Tea Party political opposition. And he hounded them, and he harassed them, and he intimidated them, and he destroyed them. That's how he was reelected. He used the IRS, government employees, to change the outcome of the election. How about the Census Bureau scandal? They weren't sure the IRS could change the outcome of the election. So to make sure that he'd win and be reelected, government employees faked the unemployment numbers in the weeks leading up to the election to reelect a president who wouldn't know what a job looked like if it hit him in the face. And how about the military scandal? You got a president purging the top generals and the entire ranks of junior officers if they disagree with his politics. He's firing them all. Why? What does he have in mind for our country? How could one leader be involved in this many lies, fraud, scandals, and cover-ups? There's enough here for a century of presidents. Forget impeachment. It's time for criminal prosecution. There's enough here to put any CEO away for multiple life sentences. Bernie Madoff would blush at what Obama has pulled off so far. So is this president too big to jail? I'm Wayne Allyn, guest host this week for Michael Savage, Dr. Michael Savage on Savage Nation. Our first guest tonight, honored to have him with us, is Jim Rogers, one of the great investment gurus in the world today, the co-founder of the Quantum Fund with George Soros, the creator of the Rogers International Commodities Index. Listen to this one. The Quantum Fund, so the date was founded in 1973. 10 years later, 1983, it was up 4,200% versus the S&P up 47%. 4,200%. You talk about a guy who's a genius, a financial whiz, a wizard of Wall Street. Regular guest on Fox News and all the financial networks, now living in Singapore and teaching his children Mandarin, I give you Jim Rogers. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, Wayne. Sounds like you're doing a good job. It certainly sounds like you're having fun.
I always have fun. You know, the more I can throw the darts at President Obama, my old college classmate at Columbia University, the more fun I have because I love capitalism, Jim. I'm a capitalist evangelist. And I think this guy is taking down capitalism, not by mistake, not out of ignorance, not by coincidence, but on purpose. But let's get away from that for a minute. Let's just talk a little economics. First of all, I got to ask the obvious question. because you're one of the most brilliant economic gurus in this world today, and yet you chose to leave the United States and move to Singapore. So let me ask the obvious question. Why?
Well, this is a simple reason. I want children to grow up speaking Mandarin. You know, in my view, Chinese is going to be the most important language in their lifetime, and I tried doing it in New York, but I couldn't. It just wouldn't work. So here we are in Singapore. The Chinese cities are all too polluted, so, so here we are in Singapore having a wonderful time.
So obviously, I guess I know the answer to this question. You believe China is the future, and America is on a downhill swing. Is that correct?
Well, if nothing else, certainly relatively, Wayne. I mean, I don't think there's any, well, maybe there are people who would doubt it, but certainly on a relative basis, China has gone up a great deal in the past 30, 35 years. And so I don't think anybody would say America's gone up in the last 35 years. You know, we're now the largest debtor nation in world history. Not just the largest debtor nation in the world, Wayne, the largest debtor nation in world history. I don't think anybody would say that's a rise. That's a decline.
So is America done as the dominant world power? Obviously, we'll always be a world power, but are we done as the dominant world power? And is the dollar done as the world reserve currency over the next 20 years?
Well, the answer to both of those questions is you can ask me in 20 years, but in the meantime, I would say most likely. You know, Wayne, in 1918, just at the end of the First World War, the U.K. was the richest, most powerful country in the world. There was no number two. Well, within one generation, the U.K. was in economic shambles. Within three generations, it was bankrupt. It had to be bailed out by the IMF. Well, our debts now and our deterioration seems to be much, much worse than the U.K. in 1918. So I would say yes, and many countries are now moving away from the U.S. dollar. I don't particularly like saying any of this, Wayne. I'm a U.S. citizen, taxpayer, voter, just like you and everybody listening, but we have to deal with facts. We cannot deal with what we'd like to be.
And you have to realize, Jim, that I'm not arguing with you. I'm not debating. I feel the exact same way. I'm still here in the United States. I don't have the financial resources that you do to move to Singapore, but I'm a big believer that our best days, unfortunately, are behind us unless we make a dramatic change. I don't know that it's still a foregone conclusion we're done, but I think unless a dramatic change happens, which does not seem to be in the offing, we've got big problems. Now, let me ask you this, Jim. When you think of Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, France, they're all bankrupt for all intents and purposes, and they turn to a USA to bail them out. What's going to happen if the USA goes down? Who could ever bail out the behemoth country the size of the United States of America?
Well, the facts are, Wayne, nobody can bail us out. The IMF couldn't bail us out at the time. 40 years ago, they could bail out the U.K. because the U.K. was a bit smaller and the IMF had lots of resources. That's not the case anymore. You're correct. No one can bail us out. No one can bail out the FDIC. No one can bail out the pension plan. The government has a guarantee fund for the pension plans around the U.S. Pension plans in the U.S., many of them are bankrupt. There's nobody big enough to bail out just our pension funds. So nobody can bail out the U.S. What will happen is we will default, but there's more than one way to default, Wayne. You can either just print money,
right?
Probably what we'll do, what the Russians did. The Russians in the 90s continued to pay people's pension obligations, but they paid them in worthless money. So I suspect that's what we'll do. I don't think you're going to wake up one day and hear on the radio that the U.S. is not paying its bills, but you may find that the currency has gone to become worthless.
And is not a Ponzi scheme in effect now when you realize that the stock market goes up every single day based on, $85 billion a month being fed into the system by the Fed, and the market just goes up? And by the way, every time there's bad economic news, it goes up even more than when there's good economic news. I mean, when you have artificially low interest rates and you have the government printing money and you have citizens that are broke that should be living in 10 cities and should be homeless, but instead they're all doing okay because the government cuts them all checks, but that adds to the national debt. Isn't that called a Ponzi scheme?
Well, yes, Ponzi scheme is a good definition of what's going on. We're printing money. You know, right now, Wayne, there are no restraints on the central bank. Every central bank in the world is printing huge amounts of money, and no government opposes it. There are only people like you and me and a few others who oppose what's going on. But at the same time, there's no opposition to huge deficit spending anymore. Because remember, Congress just had this problem with the debt ceiling. They all got wounded. So now there's no restraint on government spending anywhere. Certainly nobody in Europe, nobody in Asia. So you have governments everywhere spending and printing with no restraint. I mean, this could not have happened 50 years ago because there was still sound thinking in the world. Well, there's not any sound thinking. There's not much sound thinking in the world.
Now, I'm not a fancy economist like you are. I'm not an economic expert like Jim Rogers, the famous Jim Rogers. But what country is in the worst shape in the world? My understanding is we're actually in great shape compared to a Japan. How bad is Japan compared to America and the EU?
Well, Japan, yes, Japan has much higher internal debt than we do, Wayne. The eight differences, Japan has huge international reserves. In other words, they've got lots of dollars in the bank. Now, they owe lots of yen to themselves, but they at least have lots of dollars. We in the U.S. owe a lot of dollars to everybody, but we don't have any dollars in the bank. We have a is all we have. So, yes, Japan's in terrible shape. As far as I'm concerned, the present Prime Minister of Japan will go down. She is the guy who ended Japanese's days of glory. 20 years from now, we will look back and say, gosh, that guy ruined it. Because what he has done, he will print unlimited, that's his word, unlimited amounts of money. The same, he's spending unlimited amounts of money. And this is a nation which already has huge debt, internal debt. So, no, Japan's the end of the road. And by the way, they have a declining population. They don't have any babies, so Japan is finished. Now, having said that, Wayne, I quickly hasten to tell you, I own Japanese shares at the moment because of this madness where they're printing so much unlimited amounts of money. It may make the Japanese stock market go up. Is it good for Japan? No. Is it good for the world? No. Is it good for Japanese stockbrokers? Probably.
So I assume you own a lot of American stock, too, and each time the Fed prints, it's good for you and your American stocks as well. Even though you criticize it, I agree with you. You still want to take advantage of it. If they're going to do it, you might as well make money, right?
Well, I don't own U.S. stocks because the U.S. stock market's at all-time highs. The Japanese stock market is down 75% from its all-time highs. It's been my experience that it's better to buy low rather than to buy high and hope it's going to go higher. So I still buy, at the moment, I am buying countries where things are depressed, not where they're making new highs.
So let me ask you this. I've written many books, and I will brag a little bit here. I think, in my opinion, what I've written is that the most perfect economy in the world, if I wanted to turn around America, is the Hong Kong economy with a 15% flat tax and zero capital gains tax and deductions allowed for your mortgage up to $1 million and charitable. Is that what you would consider the most perfect economy in the world, too, if you could wave a wand and change the U.S. economy?
Well, I've certainly thought about living in Hong Kong because it's a very exciting city. I don't because it's terribly polluted. It's the main reason I don't live there. I do live in Singapore, which has many of the characteristics you just described, including clean air. No, but you're exactly right. Listen, our tax system is a chaos, a catastrophe. Nobody understands the American tax system. You can go to jail for something that nobody understands, including the IRS. It's so many thousands of pages. And it's not helping us at all. It's helping tax lawyers. It's helping tax accountants. Is it helping you and me and the listeners of this program? Absolutely not. It's hurting us.
By the way, people think we're in the freest nation in the world, and I could give you 1,000 reasons why we're not, mostly based on regulations. But how about the fact, aren't we the only, I believe we're the only nation in the world, or certainly the only industrialized nation in the world, that says once you're born in America, you owe American taxes for the rest of your life, no matter where you choose to live and no matter where you move? Are we the only ones that have that system?
No matter where you live, no matter where you earn your money. If you live in, some other country and don't earn a penny in the U.S., you're still liable for U.S. taxes for the rest of your life. We're not, I think there are two countries. I think the Philippines, who we taught how to, start a tax.
I said industrialized nations, not the Philippines. Hey, Jim, hold on for 1 second. We're headed to ad break. Stay with us just for one more segment, please, and let's talk about economics and gold. I want to talk a little bit about precious metals when we get back with Jim Rogers, one of the great investment gurus in the world today, maybe in the history of economics. I'm Wayne Allen Root, the capitalist evangelist. I'm guest host for Savage Nation and Dr. Michael Savage. We will be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, Wayne Allyn Root, in for Dr. Michael Savage. We've got Jim Rogers on the line. Time for one quick question. Jim, tell me about the future of gold. Obviously, it's down. Doesn't make sense. Debt is up. Spending's up. Economic crisis all around us, and gold is down. Why is it down, and will it be back up?
I own gold. I'm not buying gold nor selling gold at the moment. I have hedged some of my gold a little bit, Wayne. The reason I'm not buying is because, first of all, it went up for 12 years in a row, which is very unusual in any asset class. And second, the Indians are trying. India has been the largest buyer of gold in the world for decades. They have cut back. The government has done some very powerful things to make people stop buying gold. They're trying to figure out a way to make Indians sell gold, and Indians have come up with staggering amounts over the decades.
All right. Hey, Jim, we got to run. So great for you to be with us. Thank you so very much. One of the great economic gurus in the world today, Jim Rogers. I'm Wayne Allyn Root for Dr. Savage. We'll be right back with Dr. Welcome back. This is War. Wayne Allyn Root sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage of Savage Nation. Phone number 855-400-7282. That's 855-400-SAVAGE. And the big news is starting on January 2nd, Michael Savage moves to primetime beachfront property on Cumulus Radio, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, afternoon drive on the West Coast, noon to 3 p.m. Michael Savage and Savage Nation moves to beachfront property. Congratulations, Michael. All right, so I'm Wayne Allyn Root, guest host for this week, the capitalist evangelist, otherwise known as the anti-Obama. I wrote the national bestseller, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. At this moment, it's the 7th best-selling political book in America for the last year and the 4th best-selling conservative book of the last year, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. Makes a great gift for New Year's. New Year's resolutions, 18-point plan for how you defeat Obama, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. Of course, you can get it at any bookstore, Amazon.com, or my website, RootForAmerica.com. Root for Wayne Root, Root for foramerica.com. So right from the book, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide, as we await our next guest, Dr. Benjamin Carson, the real statistics of the Obama economy. What's really going on out there? Because what you hear is that everything's fine. Everything's great. Over 100 million working-age, able-bodied Americans are no longer working, the highest in history. More Americans now receive entitlements than work full-time. The typical American family earns less today than in 1989. Can you imagine? Think how long ago 1989 was. Think of the movies you watched, the books you read. Your kids were 3 years old. Today, they're in their 20s. Yet you earn, adjusted for inflation, the same amount of money today if you're the average American worker as you earned in 1989. The number of Americans getting food stamps now bigger than the population of the entire Northeast United States, including New York, Boston, and Philadelphia. Think about that. Think about walking around New York City, not just Manhattan. How about Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island, the Bronx, all of them, and every person you see, in every building you see, all the people walking through the streets and jumping on the subways and hailing cabs and eating in restaurants, all of them together. In New York City, in Boston, in Philadelphia, and the entire rest of the Northeast United States, if you put them all in one place, that's how many people are getting food stamps. It's bigger than the population of the country of Spain. More Americans get food stamps than the population of Spain. Take a trip over to Spain on your New Year's break. Celebrate 2014 by flying to Spain. And everywhere you go, every person you see, more than that is on food stamps in the United States of America. Nearly half of all Americans have less than $500 in savings. $500. About 42% of Americans have less than $500 to their name. And yet, Obama's putting forth Obamacare that his own IRS says will cost $20,000 a year for health insurance for the average American family by the year 2016. $20,000 a year. The average person doesn't have $500. the national debt jumped $328 billion in one day under Barack Obama. That was just about 60 days ago. That's the second time that's happened in this Obama administration. More than the entire budget deficit for the year 2007 under President George W. Bush. So the debt in one day jumped higher than the deficit for the year 2007 under Bush. Keep in mind all the liberals who love every time they debate with me, they always say the same thing. Bush spent too much too. Bush was reckless. Bush added $4 trillion to the debt in 8 years. Obama added more than that, almost twice as much as that, in 4 years. Bush in 8 years, $4 trillion. Obama in 4 years, almost twice as much, about $7 trillion. More Americans are losing health insurance than signing up for Obamacare. It's not even close. About 5 million have lost their health insurance in the first month or so. 100,000 were able to sign up for Obamacare. Now they claim it might be 1 million. But 5 million have lost their health insurance. Do we have Ben Carson on the line? We do. Okay, great. Dr. Benjamin Carson on the line, a brilliant neurosurgeon, professor of neurosurgery, oncology, plastic surgery, and pediatrics at Johns Hopkins. He's had over 60 honorary doctorate degrees, 5 best-selling books, including his latest, America the Beautiful, a New York Times bestseller, and probably best known as the man who stood up to President Barack Obama at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Hey, welcome to the Savage Show. I'm Wayne Allyn Root, guest host. Ben and I know each other now from the New Orleans Investment Conference. I mentioned this, Ben, at the top of the show. I got a chance to spend some time with you and your beautiful wife, Candy, backstage in New Orleans. Had a wonderful time getting to know such a fine gentleman and a wonderful human being. And maybe, just maybe, a future presidential candidate. What do you think, Ben?
Well, we'll leave that in the hands of the good Lord.
Okay. I was mentioning in the show maybe a future U.S. Senate candidate, if not a presidential candidate, because you'd make a wonderful U.S. senator from the great state of Florida.
Well, you know, one of the things that's so important right now is just to wake people up and help them to recognize what an incredibly wonderful country we have. I want to let that happen.
I guess you're in your car. I hear a GPS device giving you some directions. Is that what's happening?
I'm tooling down the road.
All right. So tell everybody out there what it was like. Set us up, and then I want to get to the important issue, Obamacare. But set us up, because I'm curious what it was like to be standing just feet away from the President of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, and you basically told him off right to his face in front of the whole crowd at the prayer breakfast. Were you a little bit nervous? Were you shaking your boots, or was God speaking through you? How did that all work out?
Well, first of all, I was very surprised to be asked to speak, because I had spoken in 1997 when Clinton was president, and I didn't think anybody ever did it twice, and I asked, and they said, well, there's one person who's done it twice, and that was Billy Graham. So I said, wow, I'm in very good company there. And I didn't know what I was going to say until the morning of the prayer breakfast. And even when I got up there, I said things that I wasn't expecting to say. I wasn't really paying attention. So,
Ben, we still got you? What's going on?
No, actually, I don't need the thing anymore. So we're
good. Get rid of it. So was this a calling from God, you think? I mean, what made you stand up and face down the President of the United States feet away on the dais of the National Prayer Breakfast?
Well, I really do think it was a message that the American people needed to hear. And I like to feel that it was something that was inspired. Absolutely. And, of course, the reaction that I've been getting as I travel across the United States would tend to verify that.
Well, listen, you know the way America works. I mean, you were arguably, you know, probably one of the most honored doctors that's ever stepped foot in this country. But the average person doesn't know a doctor. They know a celebrity. And that made you a celebrity. That changed everything. Doctors aren't celebrities. You became a national media personality. That prayer breakfast was your coming out party. Don't you agree?
No question about it. I was talking about that with my wife yesterday. I said you have to sort of divide your life into pre- and post-prayer breakfast.
There you go. I know you and I share a fantastic buddy, one of my best friends in the world, Lee Lipton, and I know he spent some time with you down in Florida in the last couple of days, so I wanted to make sure I shouted out to Lee Lipton. What a great guy that is.
Lee and Erica are just wonderful people.
Wonderful people. What do doctors think of Obamacare? Let's be honest now. Well, you know, you speak to lots and lots of MDs. What do doctors really feel? Is it anger? Is it outrage? Are there actually a few of them that like it and support it and defend it? Or are you finding universal outrage?
There are very, very few who like it. You know, it's really rather deceptive to try to pretend like the AMA was behind this and therefore doctors were behind it, because only 19% of doctors belong to the AMA because they don't think the AMA represents them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a dramatic falling away in terms of doctors belonging to the AMA. This is one of the reasons. There was very little in the way of true medical input in the crafting of this. So it really wasn't so much about health care as it was about government control.
Right.
And that's, you know, doctors did not sign up to become government employees. Most doctors are extremely bright people. They went into medicine because they wanted to be able to apply their skills and their intellect to something they truly wanted to do, which was help people. And they end up in a situation where they don't get to do what they want to do, and they've got some bureaucrat who doesn't know anything trying to tell them what to do, and they have so many rules and regulations and so many little check marks that they have to take care of on every patient that they can't really even concentrate on the patient. This is not what they signed up for, obviously.
And you know, my argument has been, I'm a person who's very, very anti-lawyer. I think lawyers are at the root of every problem in the U.S. economy. You find me a lawyer, I'll show you a lawsuit, I'll show you a business that created jobs that is now either going to go out of business or going to fire a lot of people to pay for that lawsuit, or hike prices dramatically on consumers to pay for that lawsuit, or be so distracted by that lawsuit that they can't successfully be in business anymore. So
yeah.
I find it ironic that the one thing that could have helped, the one major thing that could have helped solve problems in the medical system in America would have been tort reform, and there isn't one word about it in Obamacare because, of course, Obama's a lawyer, Michelle's a lawyer, almost everyone in his administration's a lawyer. Do you not feel like that's one of the big issues?
Well, in fact, I was at a public forum, and one of the speakers was Howard Dean, and I don't agree with much he has to say, but he is relatively honest. And he was asked the question, why is there no tort reform and the Affordable Care Act? And he said, it's simple. The Trial Lawyers Association doesn't want it in there, and they give us a lot of money.
Right. There you go. That's honest.
Which we all knew, but I was frankly surprised to see him come out and say that.
Yeah, we all know that, but I've never heard any Democrat ever come out and say it before. So I give him credit for that. He is honest. And that's one good thing. You don't find too many honest politicians. He's probably one of five in the world. But let me ask you this. To me, the biggest problem of Obamacare is you're adding – forget about all the expense and forget about the people losing their insurance. Put that aside for a minute. We'll get back to that. But the single biggest problem is you're adding 30 million or more new patients with no new doctors, and many doctors will retire in disgust. So what's going to happen to the system?
Well, obviously, the system's not going to be sustained under those circumstances. You have many doctors who are going into concierge practices now where they don't take any insurance. People just pay up front a certain amount of money per year. And that way it at least they're able to practice medicine again the way they used to practice.
Ben, let me explain that to the average person listening. Just like I could pay like $3,000, just call it three. That's probably a fee I've heard a lot of doctors mentioning, $2,500 or $3,000 a year, and I will become one of like 1,000 patients and no more than that for this doctor, and he will always agree to see me when I need him. Is that about right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, he can treat you according to the way that he thinks you should be treated, although there are some provisions in the Affordable Care Act that even govern that relationship. So it's getting relatively tough. But the bottom line is you'll have fewer physicians taking care of all the people that are already in the system, plus 30 million more. So you can imagine what the waits are going to be. Access is going to be terrible. In terms of expense, you look at the cost of some of these plans now in the exchanges because of the enormous amount of out-of-pocket expense before the insurance kicks in. People didn't have to do that before. That really makes it unaffordable for a lot of people. Ultimately, all of those people will be pushed into Medicaid and then ultimately into a single-payer system, and I think that's the goal of the whole thing. But you have to you shouldn't be surprised by all the turmoil, because if they can't roll out a computerized sign-up system, how in the world are they going to manage the medical records of millions of people?
Right. If they can't build a website that works, how about if the government can't run the postal system, even though by law there's no competition? They lost $16 billion last year. Can you imagine trying to handle your grandmother's operation? Good luck, right?
And you couple that with the fact that the security issues are atrocious. And, you know, they're saying, well, all of that was stated in the fine print, that there was no reasonable expectation of privacy. Well, how do they expect people to read the fine print when they didn't even read the big print before they passed it?
And you haven't even gotten to the bankruptcy of America. I mean, how about if you lose your insurance and the new one costs double and you don't have the money? And in the time between you lose yours and you pick up a new one, or maybe you can't afford to pick up a new one, you find out you have cancer, or your family gets in a car accident, and there's $1 million bill. Obama just cost you $1 million. Your life is ruined. Hey, Ben, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We love you. We want to keep you on the line. We got more to talk about, and I want to hire Ben Carson to be my family's doctor, okay? Tell me how I can do that, because I want you to take care of me from now on. We'll be right back. I'm Wayne Allen Root, guest host for Savage Nation, Dr. Michael Savage. We'll be right back. This is War.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is War, Wayne Allen Root, sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on Savage Nation. Call the number, 855-400-7282. That's 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm the capitalist evangelist. I'm here talking with Dr. Benjamin Carson, another hero of capitalism and one of the great doctors, honored doctors in America today. Some people have guests that are like brain surgeons. I've got a real brain surgeon on the line, don't I, Ben?
Absolutely.
Hey, you know, I wrote a commentary. I don't know if you realize I wrote a commentary that I think is the most popular commentary of the year at FoxNews.com called Why Obamacare is a Fantastic Success. And my argument was, I want to get your take on this, that this is no mistake. It's not a failure. Don't keep calling it a failure and a nightmare and a terrible thing. This was planned. He wanted to take down the medical system, take down doctors, take down capitalism, take down small business, make the IRS all-powerful, redistribute income. And based on those goals, it's working fantastically, at least for Barack Obama, not for America. Thoughts?
Well, you know, I actually think it turns out to be a blessing in disguise, and I'll tell you why I say that. We are like people in the poppy fields who have completely fallen asleep and lost the vision that was given to us by the people who founded this nation, a nation that was supposed to be centered around the rights and the freedom of the people. Then we had Fast and Furious, we had Benghazi, we had the IRS scandal, we had the NSA. None of those things people out of their slumber.
They didn't resonate.
This is the first thing that is actually starting to wake people out of their slumber, because it's affecting them.
I was just going to say, you know, I've been saying that for weeks now, that, you know, I happen to make a lot of money. I'm a successful entrepreneur. And every time Obama attacks me, demonizes me, and taxes me, nobody in the middle class seems to care, because it didn't affect them. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's the way life works. If it doesn't affect you, you just don't care. But for the first time, something's affecting the average American, and it's costing them, and it's hurting them.
And this is only the tip of the iceberg.
Benjamin Carson, Dr. Benjamin Carson, perhaps a presidential candidate, perhaps a U.S. Senate candidate, certainly a hero. Thank you, Ben, for being on the show. I'm Wade Allen. This is...
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, Wayne Allen Root here. This is War, your guest host tonight and this week. For Michael Savage, I'm the capitalist evangelist, the anti-Obama, Obama's former college classmate at Columbia University, blue-collar SOB, son of a butcher, turned Ivy League grad at Columbia, former vice presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party, now back to the Republican Party, and the author of the ultimate Obama survival guide. That was my baby. Number 7 best-selling political book in America in the last year. 18-point plan on how to survive and thrive with Obama in the presidency. The ultimate Obama survival guide, how to survive, thrive, and prosper during Obamageddon. You can find it at Amazon, any fine bookstore, or root4america.com. Okay, our next guest, Doug Schoen, a pollster, former a Fox News contributor, by the way, and commentator, former Democratic pollster and advisor to Bill Clinton, and also the mayor of New York, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, the author of The End of Authority, How a Loss of Legitimacy and Broken Trust Are Endangering Our Future. And here's the title I really like, Doug. Harvard graduate, Harvard Law School graduate, Oxford graduate. And the reason I like it is you're following in my daughter's footsteps. My daughter, Dakota, 21 years old, about to graduate from Harvard University and Oxford University as well.
Well, congratulations, Wayne, on her, and I hope she has sane political views.
Yeah, she does. She does, because I've made sure she wouldn't get brainwashed at Harvard. I told her you can't go there if you're going to let them brainwash you. So I made sure I did my own version of brainwashing, right?
I don't think I was brainwashed. I like to think that I have an open perspective and make judgments based on the math.
Well, what would you call yourself? You're kind of a very moderate to conservative Democrat, I guess is the best way I would describe
it. I think the problem, and it's a very good question, is the Democrats have moved so far left, as you have persuasively shown, that people like me are really not part of the Democratic Party as it exists today. And so I call myself a centrist, trending to independent. I'd call myself rational and logical. I'm not for redistribution. I am for a social safety net. But most of all, I'm a capitalist.
And so let me ask you a question. It's a good question for a talk show. Let's have a little intellectual discussion here. Why wouldn't you just switch and say I'm a Republican? What's so repelling about the Republican Party that you could only be either a Democrat or a centrist or an independent? Why not go all the way to the other direction? I mean, are you not a moderate Republican more than, you know, really when you look at the definition?
Republicans don't exist much anymore. The other side of it is I am more libertarian on social issues than a lot of Republicans. I'm not pro-life. I'm pro-choice. I am for gay marriage. And I am also, most importantly, I am somebody who believes in a mixed economy. And Republicans, Wayne, with all due respect, have become the party of no. The number of ideas that they articulate is precious few.
Well, you know I would debate you on that. I'd have some debate on not on the social issues, but on the economic issues. I think Obama's bringing the whole country down. I don't know if you disagree much on that. You'd probably agree with
the Republicans.
That. But listen, I don't want to debate about politics on this particular segment. I brought you on because I think you're probably as well-respected as any pollster in the United States of America, and because I happen to like your new book. I think it's a very interesting title, a very provocative title, and I think it sums up the problem. I think most people hate both Republicans and Democrats, and I think all over the world they hate both parties. I think people are angry. What say you?
Oh, I completely agree. That's my take, and we have serious problems that we're not addressing both nationally and globally. There is no sense of cooperation to solve problems. And as somebody who believes that we do a better job with free markets and with democracy and openness, I believe that we as a country, and arguably in terms of our international obligations and responsibilities, we're failing utterly. This is my man of the year, Wayne. I'm seeing how you agree. See whether you agree with this, is Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, I know, I understand. Listen, I feel more comfortable with the communist in Russia than I do with the communist in America. Putin seems like more of a capitalist to me, a realist and a capitalist, than Barack Obama does. Barack Obama appears to be, you know, more trending towards the old Soviet Union and the old Fidel Castro. But having said that, let me give you the libertarian in me, the libertarian take.
I'm not a supporter of Putin. I'm just suggesting he has had more influence this year than any single political actor, malevolent influence. But if you look at what he's done in Syria, what he's done in Ukraine, you have to acknowledge that what is worse to me than Obama's redistributive tendencies are his impotence in failing to provide leadership.
But let's talk about, I think, you know, I haven't read your whole book. Let's see if I'm on the right path here. Isn't the problem, the reason politicians have lost legitimacy, that they want to control the every movement of the people? In America, on the right, they want to tell you you can't have online gambling when in reality you're betting with your own money, in your own home, on your own computer. It's none of the government's damn business. And from the left, they want to tell you, I heard today in New York City, they banned e-cigarettes. E-cigarettes don't smell. E-cigarettes don't put any smoke out. E-cigarettes are an alternative to smoking that doesn't hurt anybody, certainly not anyone on the outside. You're not getting cancer from sitting next to a person with e-cigarettes, yet they ban them. Isn't that an example of how they won't let you live your life?
Well, the way I would put it is slightly different. I would say that government is not solving the real problems we have. We're not addressing in a constructive way our fiscal, our economic, and our social challenges. And people are just angry on the left, they're angry on the right, and most of all, they feel that we are living in a world where those who elected or responsible just aren't doing the job.
Now, you are the pollster extraordinaire. So tell us how Obamacare is polling. I understand really, really badly.
Well, it is. You're absolutely right. Look, let's be clear. The American people were skeptical about Obamacare when it was passed. Pat Caddell and I argued, I think persuasively, that it would become less popular as people have learned more about it. And that is what has happened, at least in my sense of it. And as we effectively hit the deadline now, you've got about 60% who consider it a failure and maybe 30-35% who think it's succeeding. But bottom line, with young people not signing up, I don't think this policy, at least as it stands now, is going to work.
And so how is Obama's poll ratings as a person faring? I know the issue was always throughout his first 4 years, it seemed like he was polling relatively badly as a politician, but as a person, people still liked him. The last few polls I've seen indicate that that has changed to some extent. Am I correct?
You're absolutely right, Wayne. Even at the time when his popularity or favorability was dropping below 50, people basically trusted him. They thought he was a nice guy. They thought he meant well. Right now, when you ask whether he's honest or trustworthy, a majority say he isn't. And bottom line, his approval's down around 40%. His presidency's in crisis, Wayne.
Yeah, well, listen, I think I could tell you why. I mean, I said this, I had Ben Carson on right before you, Dr. Benjamin Carson.
All right.
And I don't know if you were listening, but I mentioned this to him. You know, when Obama raised taxes, he was raising it on the top 2%. So the average middle-class right. American said, I don't care. It's you, Wayne. It's not, you know, it's not them. But now everyone is feeling the pain. I mean, all my middle-class friends, all my small business owner friends, all my average employee friends who used to say, Wayne, I really don't feel bad for you. You got a big house, so they're taxing you. Who cares? Screw you. And now all of a sudden they're going, oh, my God, you were right. He's out for all of us. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bill. I think that this is the death of Obama's policies when you start to attack the middle class and they feel like their lives are under siege.
Well, I agree, and I think what we're going to see, the date that I was going to urge you to circle on your calendar is April 15th, when those self-same middle-class or average Americans get their tax bills and realize how much they're paying. And by the way, Wayne, you and I are going to be hit pretty darn hard ourselves. But when everybody sees how hard they're going to be hit and realize that the only thing that's coming are additional tax increases, goodness gracious, I think you could see Obama fall further.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, there, you know, there was just a terrible disconnect in this country because, you know, I'm a SOB, a son of a butcher. And my dad, the butcher, used to say to me years ago, before it became vogue to hate capitalism, he used to say, son, I'd love to hate rich people, but I've never gotten a job from a poor person. And there are no jobs in America, Doug, certainly no good jobs. The jobs that have been created under Obama are all, you know, crummy, crappy, part-time jobs that ironically don't come with health insurance. So the worst jobs possible are the only jobs being created, and people never made the connection between Obama demonizing and attacking and stealing the money of rich people and the fact that there were no jobs. Yeah, he wasn't hurting you as a middle-class person. He wasn't taking your money away. But the net result of attacking job creators and business owners is there were no jobs, so he was attacking you. People never made that connection. So are they making that in polls now?
Yeah, they are. They basically are seeing this as a jobless recovery, if it be a recovery, and they basically are suggesting that they're just having troubles making ends meet. The problem I have with the Republicans is while Obama talks about redistribution as the answer, and I think it's a phony answer, the Republicans are not talking about a pro-growth strategy, which
right.
in my judgment is what we need in America.
And I'm with you. Listen, there's only one way to get out of this mess, and that is growth. It is not taxing rich people. That's never going to get you out of this mess. First of all, there aren't enough rich people. Second of all, there isn't enough money. And third of all, redistribution has never worked. If it worked, then Italy and Greece and Spain and Portugal would all be in fantastic shape. But they're not. They're in horrible shape, arguably much worse than America. And therefore, it's proven that Obama's policies will only make things worse. So you're right. It's got to be growth. How do you grow your way out of it? So what do the polls tell you about 2014? Is this a monstrous advantage for the Republican Party, even though I agree with you that they're not really presenting any great message in return, but if they just stand there with their arms folded and keep saying no, and keep saying repeal Obamacare, and keep saying it's destroying the country, even if they give no response, are they sitting pretty? Do your polls show that they are sitting pretty for 2014 to take over the Senate and retain?
Have a narrow lead now. That could, Wayne, could become a big enough margin to give them the Senate. But at this point, it's very tight. The Senate is hanging in the balance. And I think with your good offices and certainly my efforts, we will try to get both parties, but particularly the Republicans, to offer an alternative message to one of redistribution, higher taxes, and more social welfare.
You know, but before you came on, my first guest tonight was Jim Rogers, the famous billionaire investor. And I mentioned to him, Doug, that I think the most perfect economy in the world is Hong Kong. They have the most, in every respect, they have the most perfect success record in the world. And in every respect, they have the policies I'd like to see for America. 15% flat tax, mortgage deduction, charitable deduction, and 0% capital gains. And voila, 3.5% unemployment and unimaginable prosperity. I mean, I don't know why it's so difficult to see that that kind of a system creates massive prosperity and full employment. But, well, when we come back from the break, Doug, we're taking a quick break. But when we come back, I'd like to ask you about who the best GOP candidate would be for President of the United States in 2016 based on your polling and your lifetime of experience in politics. I want to get your take on that. And I also want to ask you about Hillary and her odds, if anyone's out there on the horizon that could possibly win the Democratic nomination over Hillary Clinton. I'm Wayne Allyn Root. This is War on Savage Nation. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, Wayne Allyn Root, this is War. Guest host for Savage Nation and Dr. Michael Savage. Michael will be back on January 2nd when the show moves to prime time, beachfront address with Cumulus Media. 3 to 6 p.m. East Coast time, 12 noon to 3 p.m. West Coast time, starting on January 2nd. I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I'll be in all this week as guest host for Michael. I'm on with my guest, Doug Schoen, the pollster, former Bill Clinton advisor, Fox News contributor, and the author of a great new book, The End of Authority. Hey, Doug, what's the sum up, the conclusion of The End of Authority? Is there hope?
Yeah, I think there's hope, but we need leadership. Wayne, we need politicians who put the public interest ahead of special interests or selfish interests. We need people to approach things on a practical basis of how do we solve problems. And we need people to put capitalism, free markets, democracy, fairness, the rule of law ahead of values that you and I find inimical to human life and society. I think that's the sum up.
Do you explain the problems with other countries in the world besides America in this book? Who's the country that's the most screwed up besides America?
I guess what I would say is they're all pretty bad shape. I don't think there's a great example, maybe a couple of Scandinavian countries that are arguably well governed, but there's a decline in trust all over the world, and this is a crisis that has hit all types of governments. So I don't think we're immune, but we certainly are not the shining city on the hill.
Well, you know, the thing that bothers me, Doug, is, you know, I'm no dummy, but I don't claim to be a brain surgeon like Dr. Ben Carson either. But they just constantly insult me, politicians on both sides, whether it's John Boehner or Barack Obama or Harry Reid, with the idea that they're increasing spending, they're increasing debt, and they're looking me right in the face and saying, this is cutting spending and it's cutting debt. And when you do the math, it's not. I don't understand how you can look someone in the face and say, this is a spending debt cutter when it's a spending debt addition.
Again, I think you're right on the merits. To me, the problem, of course, is bigger. We haven't done tax reform. We haven't done entitlement reform. We certainly haven't cut spending, but we haven't put ourselves on a glide path for a rational budget involving fiscal prudence, fiscal discipline, and a path towards growth. So I think we got small problems and big problems. And most people, Wayne, they understand that it's a shell game, a con.
Well, it certainly is. You know, we have 30 seconds. We're not going to solve the world's problems in 30 seconds. But let me quickly ask you, who is the front runner for the 2016 President of the United States?
Well, right now, Chris Christie and Hillary Clinton are head-to-head, knotted at about 46-47%. Bottom line, I think this is anyone's race, but I think there's going to be a reaction against Obama, the Democrats.
All right, Doug Schoen, The End of Authority is his new book. I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the Savage Nation.
Have you?
This is War. Wayne Allyn Root sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage of Savage Nation. Call in number 855-400-7282. That's 855-400-SAVAGE. Make sure you take that down because we're taking calls from now till the end of this show. And before we get to our first caller, I do want to give you a few more statistics of the Obama economy that are mind-numbing, direct from my new book, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. These are statistics directly from my book. There are so many of them, folks, it would take me about 6 Michael Savage shows times 3 hours each, 18 hours to tell you every statistic that proves statistically, factually, we are in an Obama Great Depression, and the media will not tell you the truth. More Americans on food stamps than the population of Spain. More Americans on food stamps than the population of Greece. 46 million Americans in poverty is twice as large as the population of Syria. Remember when Obama wanted to invade Syria a few months back? He was just dying to get into a war. Why? He wanted to free the Syrian people. Well, folks, maybe the country we should be freeing is America. Twice as large as the population of Syria, the number of Americans in poverty. By the way, do you realize the war on poverty is the most expensive war in the history of the world? More than all the other wars in the history of America combined. Every war we've ever fought adds up to $7 trillion. The war on poverty, $15 trillion and counting, and there's more people living in poverty now than ever before. It is the biggest failure ever seen because it's run by the United States government, the same government that produces $16 billion a year in losses with the U.S. Postal Service, the same government that can't run a whorehouse. Do you realize in Nevada where I live, I'm a Las Vegas boy, do you realize that prostitution is legal? The only state where it's legal, one out of 50 states, Nevada, we have legal brothels. And do you realize the most successful brothel in the history of the United States, successful legal brothel, was the Mustang Ranch up in the Reno-Carson City area. And the Mustang Ranch was worth about $100 million, $100 million business. Joe Conforte was the owner, making this huge fortune, and he gets accused of income tax evasion. He's indicted, and he runs. He runs to Brazil with his money. And so what does the government do? The United States government takes over the brothel. The Mustang Ranch was under the control of the United States government, and they ran it to try and get their money back. And in 1 year, it filed for bankruptcy. 1 year! So you're talking about a government that can't make money running a whorehouse. That's our United States government. And now you've put them in charge of health care. You put them in charge of the war on poverty. You get $15 trillion and more people in poverty than ever before. You put them in charge of the Postal Service, $16 billion in losses in 1 year, even though by law they have no competition. There are 16 million Americans living in poverty in the suburbs. Remember when poverty used to be? Democrats would convince you it was about black Americans, it's about racism, it's about minorities. We keep them down. Those terrible Americans are treating minorities badly, and urban inner cities are filled with poverty. Folks, poverty's everywhere now under Obama. It's in the suburbs, and it's every race. See, that's the equality Obama talks about. He isn't lifting black people out of poverty. He isn't lifting women, single mothers, out of poverty. He isn't lifting Hispanics out of poverty. He's making sure we all live in misery, equal, shared misery. We're all being pulled down to the same level of disaster. A majority of Americans with 401k savings accounts are accumulating debt faster than retirement savings. Do you know what that says about the future of America? 37% of Americans now expect to work until the day they die. They'll never have enough money to retire. The only thing wrong with that statistic is it's way underplayed. They're kidding themselves. Only 37% of Americans now expect to work till the day they die. You know what the truth is? Every single one of you has to work till the day you die, and I have to work till the day I die, with the exception of government employees. They get $100,000 pensions from the age of 45 on. $100,000 a year from the age of 45 till they die at the age of 90 or 100. You're talking about multi-million dollar golden parachutes for an average government employee. Not for the boss, not for the big shot, not for the Secretary of Commerce, for his secretary, for the janitor, for an average policeman on the beat, and I love policemen, for an average fireman, not the fire chief, not a fire captain, average fireman. Do you know the average fireman in Las Vegas, where I live, makes over $190,000 a year? Did you know that? That's what they're paying government employees, folks. Where does that money come from? The taxpayer. And it's leading us into massive debt. $5 trillion in unfunded liabilities on the federal level. On the state level, maybe as much or higher. One state, almost $1 trillion, California. And here's the last stat that should just blow your mind. Direct from my book, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. Because our education system under Obama and teachers unions is wrecked. The future of America is wrecked. It is bleak. SAT scores, the worst in history last year. And for adults, math skills, for American adults, people already out in the workforce, we are ranked 21st out of 23 advanced economies around the world. How do you think that bodes for the future of America? Folks, it isn't getting any better. We're in a long downhill slog. Teachers' unions have ruined our schools. Meanwhile, I homeschooled my daughter. She gets into Harvard, Stanford, Columbia, Penn, Brown, Duke, Chicago, Cal Berkeley, you name it. 12 for 12, the best schools in America, and she was offered early admission to Yale and turned it down. So really, 13 for 13 of the best schools the world has to offer. Homeschools. The first classroom of her life was inside the hallowed halls of Harvard. And yet she was raised in Las Vegas with the worst public school system, arguably, in the entire United States of America, where kids graduate needing remedial math and reading just to go to community college, where 40% of all the kids don't graduate. They drop out. The worst test scores in America out of Las Vegas. My daughter homeschooled, accepted at every great college in America, now at Harvard, won the John Harvard Award, top 5% of all students, then went on to Oxford and won all the awards you can win, straight A's at Oxford. That's the power of two parents that love a kid versus a teacher's union. Let's go to the calls. Let's take, Bill. Let's take Bill. Bill says Obama's destroying the name of veterans. Bill, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Your show is fantastic. Keep up the great work. I'd like to start out by saying that I am a Vietnam vet, and I have a great idea for honoring all our veterans, but I don't know how to implement it yet.
Go ahead, Bill. Shoot.
I would like to take Barack Hussein, George Soros, and every progressive in the House and Senate up on Capitol Hill and take them and put them in fatigues, no Kevlar, toy plastic helmets, guns with no ammo, and airdrop them in the hottest spot in Afghanistan and Iraq, and bring all our American veterans, God bless them, and give them a free trip to Andrews Air Force Base in front of our veterans, and then maybe the next...
All right, Bill. I mean, listen, hey, the great thing about America is we have to defeat him at the ballot box. We don't believe in violence here. We have to beat him at the ballot box and beat him bad. And if you heard me at the beginning of this show, I said we got to fight fire with fire. We got to bring a gun to a knife fight. I don't want to kill him. I don't want to make martyrs out of him. I just want to beat him badly at the ballot box and throw their butts out of office. As I always say, veto. Vote every one of them out. Veto. I'm a member of AARP. Americans Against Rotten Politicians. We got to throw their butts out of office. I don't want to kill them. I just want to get them out of Washington, D.C. Thank you, Bill. Our next caller is Steve. Steve says Obamacare will be a disaster for America. Hey, Steve, Wade Alaruta, you on the line?
Yes, I'm still here.
Hey, Steve, you waited a long time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're worth every second of it. Say, what I want to call about is after listening to the experts on the talk show circuit for about the last 8 months in regards to Obamacare, I have come to the conclusion that it all points in the same direction. And it's going to be a mass example of eugenics. And you're familiar with eugenics. It was the last practiced in the government of Germany in the late 30s and 40s. And
you're talking about death panels, basically, right?
Exactly. Sarah Palin had it correct. And with $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities coming down the railroad tracks in the form of SSI payments and Medicare payments that we cannot afford, we don't have the money for it, the practice of eugenics will solve that problem because you don't pay money to dead people. And there's no way getting around it. Every facet of Obamacare is making it almost impossible, making it difficult. Doctors are leaving. The premiums are high. The deductibles are extremely high. And the American public is going to suffer. They are going to suffer tremendously. And
well, hey, by the way, Steve, they're already suffering. I mean, the list goes on and on. What would Nancy Pelosi say? You got to pass it to find out what's in it. And every day we find out a new surprise. I'll give you an example. It just came out in the last couple of days that volunteer fire departments across America are going to be disbanded because of Obamacare, because of those requirements that you must pay for health insurance for everyone in your company. Volunteer fire departments can't afford it. That's why they're called volunteer. Nobody's paid. There is no money to pay for expensive health insurance for someone who could die fighting a fire. So it's going to be extra expensive. Well, there's no money for it. So they're going to have to disband the volunteer fire department. So the next time your house is on fire or someone that you love has a heart attack and you call the fire department, 911, guess what? No one's going to come. Or they're going to come in 30 minutes instead of 10 minutes and the person you love will be dead or your house will burn to the ground. Every day we find out a new disastrous implication of Obamacare that nobody ever thought about. I heard the other day that Obamacare only covers you, this just came out, it only covers you in the town you live in. So if you live in New York, as an example, 8 months a year, but you have a second home in Miami, Florida during the winter, if you get sick in Miami, Florida, the bill's on you. Obamacare will only cover you where you live as your main residence. It will not travel with you. Now, again, these are all, you know, unconfirmed reports on websites that I trust, like a Fox News website or a Drudge, but I can't swear before God that every one of these is true. I can only tell you that it appears that these are true, A, and B, will be disastrous implications because we didn't know what was in Obamacare. It was rushed through. It was created by lawyers and lobbyists, and doctors were not involved. There is no tort reform. And no one looked at the implications. There's always an equal and opposite reaction to everything you do in life. Let me give you an example in the NFL. In the National Football League, what was the big problem? Head injuries, concussions. Everybody jumped to the conclusion, we've got to ban hitting people in the helmet. Sounded great, right? No one thought about the fact that players would now aim low. What are they supposed to do? They've got to aim somewhere. So now instead of concussions, you're having career-ending catastrophic knee injuries. They're aiming their helmets at your knees. Knees weren't meant to be hit with helmets at incredible speeds with 250-pound to 350-pound defenders hurtling towards your knees. So massive knee injuries. You tried to avoid the head injuries, you wound up with knee injuries. There's an equal and opposite reaction to what you think is the best idea, and you're trying to do good. So even if you assume Democrats were trying to do good, and I don't, I don't believe it ever had to do with health care or health insurance or insuring the sick or making sure people were well taken care of who had never had insurance before. All it was ever about was redistribution of income and getting as many middle-class people on the dole as you possibly could to create a socialist society. That's what it was about. But even if you assume the best of intentions that Obama and Democrats wanted to do good for people, there's always an equal and opposite reaction and an unintended consequence that nobody ever imagined. And it's happening every day. So now if you live in two homes in two different places, they're only going to cover you in the first one unless it's categorized as an emergency while you're at your Florida home. So what does that mean? It's going to ruin the real estate market for second homes. There's always an equal and opposite reaction and an unintended consequence. Hey, thank you for the call, Steve. I'm Wayne Allen Root. This is War. We'll be right back with more of the Savage Nation and more of your calls. Stay tuned.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Attention, the rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, right here on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
This is War. Wayne Allen Root sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage of Savage Nation. Call the number 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-472-82, and we'll go to Kathleen. Kathleen says, why did all the rich vote for Obama? Hey, Kathleen, how are you?
Hey, Wayne, I just wanted to let you know I'm calling you here from Mount Vernon, and I've done lots of campaigning here at the Fleetwood train station.
Kathleen knows I'm a Mount Vernon boy, born and raised in Mount Vernon, New York. How did you know that?
Oh, I've been following you for a while. I really enjoy your work, and I hope that somehow or other you'll be able to do something to get the GOP to get the idea across that you have to get the message out, and you have to have a good message. The question I have is, you know, a former classmate of mine actually worked with Ben Carson and is a proud supporter of the president. He was our valedictorian of our high school.
Was this Mount Vernon High School?
Not Mount Vernon, Roosevelt.
Okay, got it, one of our great rivals.
Yeah.
I think in Yonkers, right? Roosevelt, Yonkers?
Well, how do smart people not get how bad this thing is? I have such a hard time understanding it. And is it because you're a branding guy? Is it because Republicans' branding is so bad? Because, in fact, what is their alternative? If they had had some alternatives rather than just saying, oh, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, maybe people might have listened.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question, Kathleen, that Republicans' branding is horrible. I mean, what kind of brand? Can you put it on a bumper sticker? I hate big spending Democrats. I want to spend just a little bit less. I hate big taxes. I want taxes to be just a little bit less. I hate gigantic debt of $17 trillion. I would just make it a little bit less. That's not branding. None of those are winning slogans. None of them will win you elections. I'm a Democrat, but just a little bit less. That's why they call me a Republican. That's not going to win elections. That moderate, mamby-pamby message is not going to set you apart from the crowd. You got to set it apart from the crowd by telling people what can change their lives. Give them great ideas and give them hope and give them a solution that is different than the Democrat policy or Democrat solution. So I agree with you. It's terrible branding. And when you ask why a rich friend of yours would vote for Obama, I'll tell you what. Obama loves super rich people. It's upper middle class people he doesn't like. He's got to eliminate small business. Anyone who owns a business that makes $150,000 to $250,000, $300,000 a year, that's that sweet spot that Obama wants to destroy, just wipe out. He wants to take away your home mortgage. He wants to take the cap off the Social Security FICA contribution. He wants to raise your taxes to levels that are unimaginable, so you'll be paying 70, 80% taxes on real income. The average person is fooled by this stuff, Kathleen. They don't realize, as my grandfather taught me, you know, back 40 years ago, my grandfather taught me that when tax rates were 70% and higher, it's a misnomer because small business people didn't pay a lot of taxes. It was a cash economy. They didn't report it to the government. Today, every dime is reported. The government knows what's in your bank. The government knows what's in your merchant account. The government knows how much you took in yesterday. You can't hide anything. So these are real tax rates are actually higher than anyone has ever paid in the history of America. That's the problem, folks. They're trying to wipe out the middle class and small business. I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the author of The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. Hope you've had a great night. We'll be back with you throughout this week on Savage Nation for Dr. Michael Savage. I am the capitalist evangelist. God bless. Merry Christmas to all.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.